Here's the goal for today. We want to first review just the main points, the main highlights of what we said on Tuesday regarding Meleches Machsheves, regarding Dovah Sheinu Miskaven, regarding Psikresha and the Shitas Ha'orach of Psikresha Lo Nichole, and then quickly highlight the problems that we had and the solution that we suggested. We had sugyas all over the place that Dovah Sheinu Miskaven, according to Rav Shimon, is mutter. Both in Shari Suri Torah, like for example, Ktitzat Baheres, or in Hanof and Kalayim, we had it by Srika in Nazir. And the exception to that rule, and of course on Shabbos as well, Dovah Sheinu Miskaven. The exception to the rule, the Gemara raises the issue of Psikresha. And we explained in the name of Reb Shimon that the way Psikresha operates is the following. We begin by setting up two Maisim, and then we establish that Kavana is Kover, which Maisa is his Maisa. And in the case of Psikresha, we don't have the option, we don't have the luxury of setting up two Maisa, because we're not able to establish that cutting off the head of the chicken is one Maisa and killing the chicken is another Maisa. So the absolute definite predictability here sets it up as one Maisa, and therefore he has Kavana for that one Maisa. It's a Dora Miskavi, that's Psikresha. The exception to that rule is going to be the Aruch. The Aruch is going to say that if it's a Psikresha Lo Nichale, then it's Mutter, which means it becomes a Dovah Sheinu Miskaven. And how that works is a challenge. We had a stira in the Rashba. The Rashba on the one hand, on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, presented the Shitas Ha'aruch of Psikresha Lo Nichale, that it's not a Shabbos Halacha, it applies in Kol Tor Kula. He applies it, for example, in Mochrei Ksus. And yet, on Daf Kuf Yud, the Rashba himself, in the case of Koshel Ikrin, establishes that when does the Aruch say Psikresha Lo Nichale is Mutter, that's only in Shabbos, where there's a Din of Leches Machsheves. But in Shar Isurei Torah, like for example, Sirus, even Reb Shimon, in the case of Psikresha Lo Nichale, even according to the Aruch, would be Mutter that it's also. How then can the Rashba on the one hand prove the Shitas Ha'aruch Psikresha Lo Nichale from Sugyas and Kol Tor Kula, whether it be the Sugya of Ktitzas Baheres, whether it be the Sugya of Mochrei Ksus, then in all those cases he's going to be Potur because it's a Potur Mutter, because it's a Psikresha Lo Nichale, and then turn around and say no, the Aruch is Mode that Psikresha Lo Nichale is Osir and Kol Tor Kula, and it's a unique halach in Shabbos because of Meleches Machsheves. That was one problem that we raised. The second problem was the Ramban, if you remember, because the Ramban says clearly, after quoting the Aruch, he says that the basis for the Aruch of Psikresha Lo Nichale is that Meleches Shabbos is Mosur Lalev. Let me just get the exact quote from the Ramban. I think we photocopied the Ramban and underlined the right language. He says that the raya to the Aruch is from Masechta Sukkah, the case where he plucks the berries. And the Gemara says that it's a Dovah Sheinu Miskaven to be Machshir the Hadas. And the Gemara asks about its secretion. The Gemara answers, Be'islei Hoshatach Rida. And he says, Be'islei Hoshatach Rida, Havilei Dovar She'enu Miskaven, Vishari, De Meleches Shabbos, Mesura Lalev, Sharei Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah. Here the Ramban clearly indicates that the Shitas Ha'aruch of Lo Nichale is a unique Shabbos halacha derived from Meleches Shabbos Mesura Lev, and Meleches Machsheves. And yet, the Ramban himself applies the principle of Psikresh Lo Nichale to the case of Ktsitzas Baheres, which is Shari Surito. So those were some of the problems that we addressed. In order to make some sense out of this and to resolve the problem, I'll just make a brochi, bruchato adino le mocham shakol ni evidvaro. We establish the following, that we have a case of Meleches Tzedah, in which Rashi Shita Masechta Beitza is that Yechayev for Tzedah only in a case of a Dora Miskaven, and Yepotim for Tzedah in a Dora She'eno Miskaven. And Rashi says that even if it would be a Psik Resha, nevertheless, you would still be potter from Meleches Tzedah. So when you close the door, you know for sure that you're going to trap the animal. But Rashi says that's not called Meleches Tzedah, even if you know it's for sure. And here, Psik Resha doesn't operate. Why? Because Rashi explains that Meleches Tzedah is unique, and it's not enough that the Maisa is your Maisa, it relates to you insofar as it was a Psik Resha. That's fine for the, all the other Malachas, but not for Meleches Tzedah, because there you require an active Tzedah. You have to deliberately trap the animal. You show your shlita, your control over this animal by trapping the animal. We saw something similar in the Ran in Chulin. The Ran in Chulin establishes that in the case of Mochrei Ksus, Mochrin Kedarkon, says the Ran, even though there's a Psik Resha, it's muta because in Isuri Anoh, says the Ran, we have a principle that Dovah Sheinu Miskaven is muta in Isuri Anoh, even if it's a Psik Resha. Why? Because the Dovah Sheinu Miskaven. And we explain the following, that fundamentally, according to the Ran, in order to create a chiyuv in Isuri Anoh, it's not enough to have a maisa which brings hano. You have to take the hano. You have to be mishtamesh with the ksus for the sake of hano. The levisha here brings the hano onto the person. If on the other hand he's carrying the begadim, the kalayim, from one place to the other, and at the same time he gets hano from it, that's already a Dovshal in Miskavin in Isuri Anoh, means he's not being mishtamish with the Beged. He's not using the Beged for his Hanoh. He's merely carrying the Beged. He's like a wagon, and the Beged is being carried in this wagon. That's not a violation of Isuri Anoh. If that be the case, then we understand, number one, in Rashi, in the case of Tzedah, even though there's a Psik Resha, since he's Eino Miskaven, it means he's not actively taking the animal and trapping it, taking it for himself. In the case of Isuri Anoh, even though there's a Psik Resha, he's not actively taking the Anoh for himself. And perhaps in that context, we could add another point, and that is that Ktsitzas Baheres also requires that I take the Baheres and cut it off for purposes of Tahara. He wants to be Matayer the Tzoras, and how does he do it? Instead of taking it to the Kohen, the Torah says Yishamlcha pen, meaning that you have to take the Tzoras to the Kohen and he's going to be Matayer. If you want to obviate the Kohen by taking a knife and cutting out the Tzoras, then you have taken actively the role of being Matar the Tzaras. That itself is the violation of the law. Here, we could say that even if it's a Psik Resha, since it's Lo Nichole, the Aruch is right, that's going to be Mutter and Kol Tar Kula. Why? Because basically, according to the Aruch, Psik Resha Lo Nichole is a Shabbos Halacha. We'll explain that in just a minute. But we can also add those Isurim, which are not Shabbos Isurim, that operate in the same way that Shabbos operates. So let's take Seder, according to Rashi in Beit Salam and Gimel, let's take that as our paradigm for the moment. And let's suggest the following. That just like in Seder, you have to be an active participant, not just that the Maaser relates to you because of Psik Reisha, but rather you have to actively take the animal and incarcerate the animal. If that becomes our paradigm, comes along the Aruch, and he says, if it's lo michale, he's not getting any benefit from the animal. He's interested in locking the door, but it has nothing to do with the animal. The animal was there or wasn't there. We'd do the same pu'ula. In such a case, you cannot say that he's interested in trapping the animal. And therefore the Ran says in Isurei Hanoah, even though it's Shar Isurei Torah, it's not Shabbos, there's also a Loch of Lo Michale. Because despite the fact that there's a Psik Reishia that he will benefit from it, nevertheless, if he didn't go out of his way to actively seek out that Hanoah, that's not a violation of the Isurei Hanoah. So you can tell me the Maisa relates to him, and whatever happened relates to him, that's fine. But it relates to him in a passive way, and we're lacking that Gavra, that Tishtatvus HaGavra, to seek out and be Lokeach Esana. And therefore, if we find the rule of thumb here, I think, in working out the Shitas Aruch, is that in every Isur, with regard to Isurei Torah, we'll get to Shabbos in just a minute, we have to ask ourselves the following question: what is the nature of the Isur? Is the Isur the fact that I have this Chefta, so to speak, this result, and it relates to me, I was the Gorim, so my Maisa was enough to do the Gorim, and therefore all you need is the Shem Maisa, and therefore, if there's a Psik Reisha, that becomes a Shem Maisa, because I have one for the Maisa, but there's only one Maisa, according to Shimon Shkaf, because of Psik Reisha, then I'll be Chayav. But if Lu Yitzur, I can define a specific Isur, not from the perspective of what? The Totsah, the Chefta, but from the perspective of the Gavra Lokeach, he subjectively is taking this Hanoah, then the Shitas Aruch will apply, because the Aruch is saying that when can you tell me that he's taking this Hanoah? That's only if it's Nichole, if he has benefits from it. But if he doesn't have benefits from the Hanoah, you could hardly say that he's taking the Hanoah. And therefore the Ran and Chulin suggests that in Isurei Hanoah, despite the Psik Reisha, it's going to be Mutter. But that's not the general rule. That's the exception to the rule. In Isurei Torah in general, let's take the case of Koshel Ikrim. The Torah says that the Isur is in the Sirus, in the Totsah. If you were the one who took that medicine, and you knew up front, without a doubt, that it's going to create this Sirus, and you won't be able to be Mekayim in Mitzvah Piri V'Rivya, then you're considered the Baal HaMaisa because of the Psik Reisha. The Psik Reisha makes you into the Baal HaMaisa, so to speak. The Shem Maisa is related to you because it's one Maisa, and you had Kavanah for that one Maisa. Taking this pill is equivalent to an act of Sirus. Hello, what? You're going to tell me I didn't actively do so. I took the pill for another reason, and it's not Nichole, and I should apply the principle of the Aruch. The answer is no. The Aruch doesn't apply in a case of Psik Reisha. Why? Because the Aruch is trying to set up a halacha of Lo Nichle, I didn't take it. In the case of Koshel Ikrin, the Rashba says that the Aruch would be Moda, that he's Chayav, even though it's a Dovashay Miskavin, even though it's Lo Nichle, the Sirus is Lo Nichle, he'll still be Chayav. The Rashba says, why? Because that's Shari Surei Torah, it's not Shabbos. What does the Rashba mean? He means this is Shari Surei Torah in the classical sense of Shari Surei Torah. In a classical run-of-the-mill Shari Surei Torah, the Isur is in the Totsah. The Torah says, I don't want this Metzius to come into existence. Which Metzius? Sirus. Oh, in such a case, Lo Nichole is not going to make a difference. All I need here is to take that Sirus, that Totsah, and relate it to the person by saying he is guilty of that Shem Maisa. For that I need Psik Reisha. Once I have the Psik Reisha, that itself makes it into a Dabar Miskavin, the Maisa is yours. I didn't actively take the Sirus, I have no interest in the Sirus, on the contrary, I don't want the Sirus. That's irrelevant, because Sirus represents Shar Isurei Torah. But again, Lu Yitzur I could find in Shari Suri Torah something Dumya de Meleches Tzedo, where the Torah says you're chayav because of your active taking of it. For example, Eradani Suri Ano. Or for example, the case of Ktzitas by Harris, where the Torah says don't actively be Matayar the Mitzora by cutting out the Tzaras, but rather take it to the Kohen for Tara. The act of being Matayar the Mitzora by cutting out the Tzara, that's the law of Ktzitas by Harris. In that case, Ktzitas by Harris is exactly like Yisri Ano according to the Ran, or Melechus Tzedo according to Rashi. We are only chai for an active Lekicha. You actively try to be Matayar the mitzora by cutting out the tzaras from the goof. Ah, if that be the case, then ktzitzas baharis becomes like meleches tzeda. The active element is conditional on the fact that you have benefit from it. If you have no benefit from it, then we cannot say psikration. Says the Gemara on Daf Kuflam and Gimel. Let the mila, in this case the mila de tzaras, be implemented by acher. The acher has no benefit, it's lo nichole. And if it's lo nichole, then it's not considered that he actively tried to be matayar the mitzora. He's not interested in being matayar the mitzora. It doesn't phase him one way or the other. He's interested in being makayim in the mitzvah mila, or to be a proxy for the mitzvah mila, and that's his kavana. Are you going to tell me it's a psikration that he's cutting out the tzaras? Here we apply the principle of the Aruch. The Aruch only said it in Shabbos. The answer is, the Aruch could apply in any Isur, even Shari Surutum, if it becomes Dumya de Shabbos. So we have now two categories of Shari Surim. We have the classical Shari Surim, where the Torah puts all the emphasis on the Totsah, on the objective Totsah, and then we have certain Isurim which we'll classify as Dumya de Shabbos, Dumya de Meleches Tzedek, where the Torah is not happy just with the Totsah. The Torah would require that you actively take the law into your own hands. How did you do so? By cutting out the Tzaras. So now Rabosai, there's no steer in the Rashba. The Rashba on the one hand says that the Aruch doesn't apply to Kol HaTorah Kula, and that's why the Rashba establishes on Daf Kuf Yud that if you know for sure secretion, that when you take this koshel ikrim, you're going to be nekar. Ella what? You're not doing it for that purpose, and you're not even interested in it. It's not michale. Says the Rashba, this case is dumya the Shabbos, dumya the tzeda, because the nature of the iser of tzaras, hishamalacha, is to be matar. He's not interested in the least bit to be matar, because he's not the father of the child, but rather it's given to achim. The same thing applies to the case of Mokhar Ksus, where you have to be mishtamish with the Beged of Kalayim. If you're not being mishtamish with the Beged of Kalayim, you're only serving to transport the Beged from one place to the other. Even if there's a psik resha, I can apply the logic of the Aruch that it's lo nichale. And once it's lo nichale, I wasn't taking this Beged and putting it on my body for the purpose of levisha. I was putting it on my body for the purpose of transporting it from place to place. And therefore the Isur Kalayim becomes Dumya, the Meleches Tzeda. Comes along the Aruch, and he says, forget about Meleches Tzeda. It's not just an exceptional case of Meleches Tzeda. It's all 39 Melachos. In all 39 of the Melachos, the Torah says, don't have a shimush, don't have a use or a lekicha in that way. And perhaps we could talk about the problem that led the Aruch to this conclusion. What motivated the Aruch? The Aruch had a problem. He didn't understand what the Gemara means by Dover She'ena Miskaven in the case of Gerira. The Gemara says that if he does the Gerira, and as a result, he makes charitzim. He has a problem with leches charisha, correct? Oh. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that if his grera causes charitzim, then if we know it's going to cause charitzim, that's called psik resha, then the Gemara says, Modereb Shimon, the psikration. Oh.
So now what happens? Comes along the Aruch, and he says the following, that in the case of Charitzim, let's look at the Asiyas Charitzim from the perspective of Kol HaTorah Kulo. We said that in the case of Asiyas Charitzim, if it's a Psik Resha, he's going to be Chayev. Why is he going to be Chayev? Because, as we said, the perspective of Kol HaTorah Kulo is I look at the Totsah and I ask myself the question, who is responsible for creating this Totsah? How did it go about occurring? And the answer is, through the Gerira, he created Charitzim. That enough should be machayavim for Meleches Charisha. Because from the perspective of Kol HaTorah Kulo, if in the classical Issa the Torah is interested in what? In the Totsah, then here too, he created Charitzim. So what are you going to tell me? That there are two separate Maisa. There's one Maisa Gerira, and there's one Maisa Vasiyas Charitz. And therefore, if it's a Dovah Shedim Eskavim, the Gemara says, according to Rav Shimon, it's Mutter. Why should it be Mutter? What are you going to tell me? That they're two separate Maisim, and the two separate Maisim, according to Rav Shimon Shkop, his Kavana is Koveya. If his Kavana is Koveya, then we have a right to say that in a case where we know that he had Kavana for this Maisa, the Maisa relates to him. So the Aruch was asking the following question. Basically, since at the end of the day, in the case of Asiyas Charitzim, he is responsible for the creation of the Charitzim, then shouldn't we apply the principle here of Meleches Machsheves even if it's not a Psik Resha? Meaning, the Aruch's problem was that the Gemara says that whether or not Gerira should be also depends upon Psik Resha or not Psik Resha. If it's not a Psik Resha, the Gemara establishes that it's a Darash Ein Miskav. Now the Rashba, and now, excuse me, the Aruch, asked himself the following question. I don't get it. He did the Maisa Gerira. We had the Ran. Let's just review the Ran. The Ran says that he cuts out the Gago Shel Ches. And what does he get as a result? Who remembers? He gets two Zaynin. You remember this? Because a Ches is two Zaynin when you attach it. So he cuts out the Gag of the Ches right down the middle, and he's left with two Zaynin. The Ran says he's Chayef for that. Why? It's not considered Ksiva Kol HaTorah Kulo and Get, but here we have Aloch HaMeleches Machsheves. So the Aruch understood that L'chorah, what you're saying here about Meleches Machsheves is that, just like in the case of Zorah, as long as the Totsah was created, and you're the one who's responsible for that Totsah, because you threw, with the pan, you threw up the produce into the air, then you're Chayev. So the Aruch doesn't understand, who cares whether it's a Psik Resha or not? Forget about Psik Resha. If the Torah is saying that as long as the Totsah relates to me, in other words, I look at the page, I look at the parchment, and now what do I see? I see two Zaynim. Then that Maisa, which would not be a Maisa Ksiv in Kol HaTorah Kulo, is enough to be Machayev me on Shabbos from Meleches Kosev. Why? Says the Ran in Perek HaBona, because of Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. This is the Meleches Machsheves L'chumra that we discussed. So the Aruch therefore says, I don't even care about Psik Resha. Who cares about Psik Resha? L'maisa, what we have to do is, we have to look at the Totsah, and if at the end of the day, he created this Totsah, he's responsible for this Totsah, he is responsible for the two Osios that are on the Klav, therefore he's Chayev. So we shift the emphasis now from the Maisa to the Totsah Samaisa. The Maisa is not a Maisa Ksiva according to standards of Kol HaTorah Kulo. Comes Meleches Machsheves and says that despite that fact, we're going to shift the emphasis from the Maisa to the Totsah, and in the Totsah Samaisa, he caused it. So if a man knows that he is dragging a chair in such a way that he may create Charitzim, then let's look at the creation of the Charitzim and let's go backwards and say that this Totsah was a result of his action of Gerira. And even if you'll tell me that that action only has a shame maisa zutar, you know, it's only a small maisa, it's not a full-fledged shame maisa because it's lacking in what? In kavana. Nevertheless, it's enough of a maisa to certainly be able to submit that this totsah is a result of that maisa. So based on this, the Aruch came to a very radical conclusion. And he said that what's the definition, what's the geder of Melechet Shabbos? Now this becomes the radical transition to the Aruch. Until now, based on the Ran in Melechet Ksiva, we said that the definition of Melechet Shabbos is that you did an action which resulted in creating a Melech. Comes along the Aruch and he makes a complete shift. A new definition of Melech HaShabbos. What's Melech HaShabbos? Melech HaShabbos means that you actively try to create a Melech. That's the new definition of Melech HaShabbos. And now, instead of using the Ran in Kosev as our paradigm for defining Melech HaShabbos, we're going to use Rashi in Seda as our paradigm for Melech HaShabbos. And just like in the case of Tzeda, Rashi says you have to actively trap the animal. And it's not enough to say, well, Psikresha, you close the door, and therefore the animal is trapped. No. We're not going from the Totsah. We're going back to the Maisa. This is called Meleches Machshavos. What does Meleches Machshavos mean? It means that my Machshava to create this result, that's what gives it a Torah's Melacha. I am actively trying to organize it and scheme and implement whatever way I possibly can to create that totsah. That's the definition of Meleches Machshavos.
It's a combination of result plus Machshavos.
Correct. But why is the Machshavos so critical? Because the Machshavos is bringing us back to that original definition of Lekichas and Shimush B'Melacha. If I take the Melacha, just like Rashi says, I take the animal and I subjugate the animal, I incarcerate the animal, that's called Meleches Tzeda. So too, if I have something growing in the field and I actively cut it down, and the reason I'm cutting it down is because I want to use that produce, that's considered an act of Lekicha. That's a Meleches Shabbos. And the Aruch would claim that if he went through every single Meleches Shabbos, instead of beginning with the Totsah, you begin with the Gavra, and you ask the Gavra, are you interested in that Totsah? And if that's what motivates him, which is called in the Lashon of the Aruch, that's Nichole, then only then are you Chayav. Because the Meleches Machshavos here of desiring this result is what makes you Chayav, because that's called Lekichas HaMelach. You are actively taking the Melacha. So even though you'll tell me, wait a minute, it's a psikresha, and as we said in the name of Shimon Shkab, psikresha collapses the difference between Grera and Asiyas Charitzim, and instead of calling it two Maisim, we're going to call it one Maisa. That's the power of psikresha. And now, since he's miscounting for this Maisa, he's cutting off the head, he wants to take the head, but he's killing the chicken. It's all one Maisa. He has Kavana for killing the chicken. Comes along the Aruch, and he says, it depends what you mean by Torah's Maisa. If you mean by Torah's Maisa that Enoch Inami, this Maisa relates to him, then you're right. Then Psikresha is meaningful. But if you're going to tell me that Psikresha means that it's not enough in Melech HaShabbos to say that there's a Torah's Maisa, that this Maisa relates to you, and it's your the Bala Maisa, but we need more than that. We leave you an active Bala Maisa. You have to take the Totsah. You have to enjoy it. And you have to want it. And you have to be Nichole. Says the Aruch, you can only apply the principle of Psikresha only if it's Nichole. But if it's low Nichole, then he didn't actively seek out the Melacha. There was no interest. There was no benefit. He got no Hanah from it. Is then your Patur in Hilchos Shabbos. Now I'll ask myself the question, what about in Shari Surei Torah? And the answer is now the Aruch goes back to the score to the scorecard. What do you call it? To the flowchart. And what does he have on the chart? In Shari Surei Torah, he has two categories of Isurei Torah. There's one kind of Isur Torah which we call the classical Isur Torah, where the Torah starts with the Totsah and goes backwards and asks the question: do we have a Torah Samaisa? And if the Maisa relates to him, he's Chayav.
Then we have another category of Isur, very rare and far between. And in those cases, as exceptional cases, the Torah says that you're enjoined from actively creating that Totsah. And in those last cases, we basically come back to an equation to Melechah Shabbos. It becomes Dumya to Melechah Shabbos. Just like in Melechah Shabbos, the Torah says Melechah Shabbos means you have to want and desire and seek out this Totsah in an active Bala Maisa. So too in other Isuri Torah, of the second category, the second ilk, the Torah says you're chayav not because there's a Maisa that led to the Totsah, but because you sought out this Totsah. You tried actively to create it and you benefited by it. Says the Aruch. And that's what the Rashba means by Mokri Ksus. And that's what the Ramban means by Tzitzis Baheres. We have here two Isurim, which, although they're not Shabbos Isurim, they have the same gether as Shabbos. They have the same gether as Melechas Machshavos and Shabbos. When the Ramban says that the reason why, according to the Aruch Pesuk, Reish Lo Nichle is Mutter, says the Ramban, because Melechas Shabbos Mesura Lalev Sharei Melechas Machshavos Asra Torah, he's not referring to the Melechas Machshavos concept that we were talking about over the past I don't know how long, and we said that the Mekalkil is not called Melechas Machshavos, and a Chatzishir is not Melechas Machshavos, and a Melech Shen Tzrichel Gufa is not a Melechas Machshavos. That's not what he's talking about. When he says Melechas Shabbos Mesura Lalev, what he's saying is that unless your lev is in it, unless you have vested interest, unless you have desire, you know, you're not going to the gambling shop, you know, just to throw around coins. You're going there because you want to win the game, right? So if you're going for the benefit of winning, that's called a Mesura Lalev. That's called a Melechas Shabbos. And that's the Melechas Machshavos halacha that he's quoting. And in order to illustrate the halacha of the Aruch, he says that if it's lo nichle, and therefore there's no mesura lalev, and it's not a melechas machshavos, he quotes the sugya in Rebbe Lezer Demilin Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel, that iika acher li evet acher. The Gemara asks, how are we going to allow a mila on Shabbos in the case of ktsitzas baheres? So the Gemara says, well, esei dochalosas. And then the Gemara says, well, why do I need esei dochalosas? Maybe I could just say that it's a dover shayna miskavin. He has no kavana for ktsitzas baheres. He's only motivated by mila, and therefore there's no violation of ktsitzas baheres. There's no need to apply the principle of esei dochalosas. So the Gemara says that it's a psik resha. No, the Gemara says it's a psik resha, and Moder Rav Shimon psik resha. So dover shayna miskavin is not going to be enough to be matir ktsitzas by mila baheres. Gemara says is the acher. Instead of the father doing the mila, we give it to someone else. If we give it to someone else, it's lo nichale. Says the Ramban, that's the source for the Aruch. That psikresh lo nichale is a dover shenim eskamen. No, but the Ramban just finished saying that it's mosul alev, that the reason why the Aruch says that psikresh lo nichale is mutar on Shabbos is because it's a dover mosul alev, and it's a melechas machshavos. What does that have to do with ktsitzas baheres? And the answer is that the law of ktsitzas baheres is dumya to Shabbos. Just like in Shabbos, the Ramban says the definition of the melacha is mesura lalev. That it's only when the lev is motivated for this totsah, then I could say he's called the osa melecha Shabbos. Because osa melecha Shabbos doesn't just mean that it happened as a result of his maisa, but it means that he made it happen. And to make it happen, you need a dover mosul lalev. The same thing applies in Taras. Ktsitzas Baheres, because Ktsitzas Baheres is not just a mechanical action that he cut out the Baheres. Ktsitzas Baheres means that he wanted to avoid and circumvent the Kohen. How can he circumvent the Kohen? We need the Kohen. All the steps of Taras and Metzorah depend upon the Kohen. The answer is, there's no Tzaras here, because I did a surgical operation, I removed the Tzaras. That's what I did. That's a violation of the Isur Yisham Melucha. But in the case of Psik Resha, where it was a Dover Shenim Iskavin, and he has no benefits, he has no reason to seek out the Tara of somebody, of Yenim's child, of somebody else's child, he's an Acher, then it's a Dover Shenim Iskavin, and it's a Dover Shenim Iskavin with a Psik Resha Lo Nichle, meaning the same logic that applies of Lo Nichle to Shabbos, meaning that he's not seeking out the Moloch in Shabbos, applies to the Isur Lav of Ktsitzas Baheres. And then we explain the Rashba. The Rashba says that the Aruch only applies in Shabbos and not in Shari Suri Torah, and therefore the Aruch would agree that you're not allowed to take this medicine that causes Ikur. So you see that the Rashba clearly holds that Meleches, that Eino Nichole in the Aruch is a special Aloch in Shabbos. He says it explicitly. How then can the Rashba on the very next page in the Kiddusha Rashba apply the yardstick of Lo Nichole to the case of Mochrik Sus? Mochrik Sus is already an Issa Kalayim at Shari Suri Torah, where there is no Meleches Machsheves. The answer is there is Meleches Machsheves in Shari Suri Torah. Which kind of Isurim? Isurim where the Torah says Lo Tilvash, which means don't actively wear it. Don't be mishtamish with the Begid for your body. And it's really fascinating, the Ran in Chulin that we mentioned before, who says that in Isuri Anor, a Dor Sheinu Miskaved is mutter, even if it's a psik resha. So I know that when I walk down this road, I'm going to be smelling the incense from the Avodah Zarah, and I'll be enjoying this wonderful aroma of Avodah Zarah. Says the Ran, it's a Dor Sheinu Miskaved, and even if it's a psik resha, it's mutter. And the Ran proves it from Mochrik Sus. Because the Ran understands in the case of Mochrik Sus, it's mutter for them to wear the Kalayim, even if it's a psik resha, that his body will enjoy it. Now that's fascinating, because what's the Ran talking about? The Ran is talking about Isuri Anor. Kalayim has nothing to do with Isuri Anor. Kalayim is not Isuri Anor. Kalayim is an Issa Levisha. The Torah says, Lo Silbash, the Maisa Levisha is also. Norfos. The Ran understood that from a certain perspective, Levishas Kelayim is Isuri Anor. What does that mean? Just like in Isuri Anor, the Torah says don't actively seek out the Hanor. The Torah says don't actively seek out this Levisha. When is it a Levisha? When I put on this Begin in order to warm my body. That's called Levisha. That's Dumya, the Isuri Anor. The Ran sees these two cases as two drops of water. Case number one is Isuri Anor. With Psik Resha, I'm still not Chayev. Why? Because the Dom Sheinim is coming. Ah, you'll ask the Kasha. Mod Reb Shimon, the Psik Resha says Aran, but not Isuri Anor. And I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you from Levishas Kelayim. What's the Aran talking about? Levishas Kelayim is not Isuri Anor. But the answer is that there's one common denominator, one fundamental link that unites together Isuri Anor with Big Day Kalayim. That here is the exceptional case to Shari Isuri Torah, where even in Shari Isuri Torah, it's Dumya the Isuri Anor, Dumya the Shabbos, the way the Aruch learns it, of Dovra Mosul Alev in the Ramban's language, where you're chayef for actively seeking it out. Levisha means I'm trying to warm up my body. I have a begad and I put the begad on my body. If I'm putting the begad on my body because I got to get the begad from here to here, so my body serves as a wagon to transport the begad, that's not an active levisha. And therefore, psikresha hin, psikresha hair, it's not a violation of the Issa, because psikresha could only take this Maisa, collapse it to, and say that I am considered the Bala Maisa. Hamasemet Yacheselai. Why? Because it's one Maisa. Not enough. To say that the Maisa of Mityaches Alecha, that's only good for Shari Suritur, but not for Levisha, and not for Ktsitsas Baheres. So this becomes a fascinating research project. To take a look and analyze all Isuri Torah and figure out how to define the Isur in each case. It would be a major, shall I say, mechkar to declare this hakira. Do I define the malacha by its totsah, or do I define the malacha by mesira lelev? Mesira lelev means the desire of the person, the active role in creating that totsah. And you're going to have to be medadei kechut hasayra in each case, and try to bring proofs, what would be the nature of the Isur. And the nafkamina is going to be psik resha lo nichole. That if we're talking about a classical Isur of Shari Suri Torah, where the Torah looks at the Totsah and the Torah says, this is unacceptable. You cannot create or generate the result that's awesome, that's unacceptable. Then the Aruch is not going to fly. The lo nichole is not going to help me one way or the other, because the maisa is yours, and that is through the mechanics of secretion. But if the Iser is such where the Torah says, don't seek out the Iser, don't try to create this new result in the world, don't create this new entity in the world, which means that it's the active participation, the way Rashi said it in Seda, then I apply the Shita Sahar. Then we're going to say, well, secretion makes it into my Maisa. That's not enough. Because the Torah says you're not chayiv just for the ma'isa, you're chayiv for the active ma'isa, the seeking it out, and the lekicha, and the shimush. And then if it's lo michale, the Aruch says, that's not actively being involved in the ma'isa. Now, Rabosai, before we get to Reb Chaim, I just want to say that there's a sugya in the Sefer Shabbos, which I don't have time for, but I wish I did, which is going to be a major sugya for our purposes. That's Shabbos Kuf Yud Zayin, if you can make a note of it. And this is called Meleches Mafshit, where he strips the animal, he skins the animal, he takes off the skin of the animal. Now, normally, you're chayef for Meleches Mafshit because you're taking the skin for yourself. But the Gemara discusses a case of Mafshit or HaPesach. In other words, if Chag HaPesach, or I should say Erev Pesach, coincides with Shabbos, then there's Halach and Korban Pesach. They have to be mafshit the Or. That has nothing to do with taking the Or for yourself. You're not in the least bit interested in the Or. You're interested in the Basar. Because the din is that the Basar Pesach has to be Orless, if you follow what I mean. Has to be stripped of its skin. And the Gemara seems to assume over there that Dovr Shenim is Kavin is going to apply, meaning that since he's not interested in the R, therefore he's not miskavin to the Moloch of Hafshot HaSa'ar. He's only interested in getting the Basar to be without R. So I'd love to learn that Sugya sometime with you, because it seems that the logic of that sugya is that even though it's a psik ratio, you know, just like when I cut the chicken's head off, I know it's going to die, and therefore we suspend the principle of meleches of Rav Shimon of Dovr Shenim Miskavin. So too, when I strip the Korban Pesach of its skin, I know I'm doing meleches mafshid. It's not a question, will I or won't I? Correct? It's a psik ratio, and yet the Gemara seems to assume that we can apply the principle of Dovr Shenim Miskavin in such a case. And again, I think the logic here is the Aruch's logic, that the Malach of being Mafshit means taking the R. I'm not at all interested in taking the R. And therefore, I'm not Chayv. Again, so that has to be understood. But now, Rabosai, I want to go back to the Machlokas between Rabbi Kiveger and the Taz. The Taz says, I don't know if there's a fly or not. I'm allowed to close the window. Why? Because it's not a psik ratio. I don't know if there's a fly there. If there is a fly, I'm definitely trapping it. Comes along Rabbi Kiveger and he says, I don't know what he's talking about. It is a psikration. You may not know whether it's a psikration or not. So call it something deraisa l'chumra. But don't hide your head like an ostrich in the sand and tell me, well, it's not a psikration. Zachar Bosai, I believe the Taz is the lumbus of the Aruch. The Aruch is saying that Melecha Shabbos, Rashi says it in Seder, the Aruch applies it straight across to the balance of the 39 malachas, is taking. I'm taking the animal. I'm trapping the animal. Says the Taz, I don't even know if there's a fly there. Maybe there is, maybe there's not. You're not going to tell me that I'm motivated and I have a nichol, a benefit by trapping the fly if I don't even know it's there. And therefore, we can apply the principle of lo nichol. It's not the way Reb Shimon Reb Shimon Shkaf tried to defend Reb Kiveger, and he said, well, you collapse the two Maisim into one, and as long as you had Kavana for the Maisa, you're Chai for the second Maisa. If that be the case, then Reb Kiveger is absolutely correct against the Taz. How can the Taz possibly say, I don't know whether it's there or not? But if it's there, it's one Maisa, and if you had Kavana for that Maisa. So how can you tell me that it's not a psik ratio? The answer is, if I don't know whether it's Ipsikratia, it's not Ipsikratia. Because the very fact that I don't know whether it's Ipsikratia is proof positive that I'm not motivated to trap this being. And now, Rabosai, at the end of the day, we get to Reb Chaim. We have copies of Reb Chaim for anybody who wants. Mm-hmm. Okay, shkoyach for that. I'm just going to take a little bit more to drink over here.
This one is cold. Let's see, maybe this one is a little warmer. Okay. So let's go over the kasha that Reb Chaim is trying to answer. The sugya of Matis Mursa establishes that if I have some sort of we'll call it a boil, and it's full of pus, and I'm allowed to pierce through the outer membrane in order to relieve myself of this pus. So the Gemara says it depends. If his kavana is lasos lo peh, that's the way the rofim do it, they open up a boil so the air can come in and out, then he's chayav for melechas asiyas pes. But if he's not interested in opening this passageway in what we call asiyas ha-pesach, he's only interested in lahotzi vimeno lecha, the Gemara says that in such a case, it's mutter because makom tzar, it's mutter. Now, the sugya says that why are we being matir makom tzar mafis mursa? And the Gemara says because of malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. In other words, he's like the case of someone who's opening a hole in his ground, but he's not interested in the hole at all. He's interested in obtaining the offer. And that's called the Malach Shen Tzricha Gufa. Here too, he's not in the least interested in creating a Pesach. He's interested in getting the Lecha out of this Mursa. The Rambam, in Perek Yud Halacha Yud Zayin, says, HaMafis Shchim B'Shabbos K'dei L'Harchiv Pi HaMaka K'dei Cherof Mosam is then Chad. But in the Hifisa Lahotzi Men Lecha, Harezem mutter. So the question is, how can the Rambam say Harezem mutter? The Gemara establishes that the reason why it's mutter is because of Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, which is part of Avalasa, but in the case of Tzar, he tiru Lev Chachamim. The Rambam paskins in Perek Aleph Milchus Shabbos like Rabbi Yehuda, that Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayav. How then could he possibly be matir Mafis Mursa? You'll tell me it's a Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, wonderful. But Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa is irrelevant, according to the Rambam. He's still Chayav. And if he's chayav for a doraisa, you can't tell me that they were matir b'makom tzar. So that's the famous kasha on the Rambam. If I remember correctly, the Magid Mishnah asks this kasha. Yeah, the Magid Mishnah asks this kasha. Now, if you happen to have Reb Chaim in front of you, and I've been working on this Reb Chaim for a while, I'm not going to tell you it's easy, but I think and I hope that based on our understanding of the Shitas HaAruch, maybe we could understand this Reb Chaim. I can just tell you this as an introduction. The Rosh Hashiva of Tor V'Das, 50 years ago, before my time, his name was Reb Hyman, he didn't understand this Reb Chaim. So we're in good company if we have a problem with this Reb Chaim, Reb Shlomo Hyman. And by the way, I never met Reb Shlomo Hyman, but I can tell you, he was sharp as a whip. I mean, I've read some of his Torah, and it's unbelievable. But let's see what Reb Chaim has to say, and where, at what point do we get stuck, and with Reb Hyman's comment, and then maybe we can move forward. So in the second paragraph, Reb Chaim quotes the beginning of Shabbos, and there Shmuel says that Kol Potter of Shabbos is Potter of Alos, Bar Mitlas, and on the list, he has Mafis Mursa. Then in the case of Mafis Mursa, the din is that it's mutter. It's potru mutter. He also has it in Seidas Nachash. What's Seidas Nachash? He's being attacked by an animal, in this case a serpent. He wants to protect himself, so he traps the animal. He's not the least bit, you know, he's not selling it to the zookeeper, so he has no interest in the Seidah itself. He just wants to save himself, which is called the Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. And Shmuel says that both in Seidas Nachash and in Mafis Mursa, it's Potur Mutter. Potur Mutter means that it's Potur Midoraisa, and there's no Malacha. And therefore the Rabbanan could be Matir.
Fractosis, I don't get it. Shmuel's of the opinion on Daf Mem Beis, like Rabbi Yehuda, that Malach Shen Tzrich L'Gufa Chayev. How could he be Matir then? Mathis Mursa, I'd say this Nachash, because of Mokum Tzar, it's a Malach Gemura Midaraisa. Because Malach Shen Tzrich L'Gufa, like Rabbi Yehuda, says Shmuel, is Chayev. Now, in order to answer these two questions, which are really one and the same, that it seems that I can reconcile the heter of Mafis Mursa and Seydis Nachash with Rabbi Yehuda Shita, or the Rabbam Shita, or Shmuel Shita, I should say, the Rabbam Shita, Malach Shen Tzrich L'Gufa, I have those two questions, which are really one. Is Rav Chaim basically... First, I'll mention the structure of the Rav Chaim, the mathematical structure. He basically wants to say that wherever you see in the sugya that it's a Malach Shen Tzrich L'Gufa, that sugya is reflecting the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that Dover Sheinim is Kavin is Chaim. And Rav actually paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, as we'll soon see, that Dover Sheinim is Kavein is Chayef. I'm talking about Kol HaTorah Kulo. That's Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. The reason why the Gemara therefore introduces Malach Shen Tzrich L'Gufa is because the Gemara has no option of Dover Sheinim is Kavein. However, in all those cases, for example, Tzedas Nachash and Mafis Mursa, we can apply the principle of Dover Sheinim is Kavein. Now again, we have to get into this question exactly how Tzedas Nachash is a Dover Sheinim is Kavein. I mean, you know, the Nachash is coming to me and I trap the Nachash. I mean, what are the two mice in here? If we assume that the difference between Malach Shen Tzrich L'Gufa and Dover Sheinim is Kavein is that the latter requires two mice, I don't know if you can call this two mice. In the case of Mafis Mursa, maybe, you know, there I hear Reb Chaim a little bit better, you know, that he's pulling out the Lecha and he opens a Pesach in the body. You know, those are two different mice. In the case of Tzedas Nachash, right now I have no clue. I came up with the following answer that maybe he's holding a broom, and he's protecting himself so the Nachash can't attack him, and somehow the broom, you know, claps the serpent over the head and he traps, so that somehow two mice. I don't know. But be that as it may, the premise here in this Reb Chaim, just structurally, so we know where we're going here in this whole Reb Chaim, which is like, it's like a whirlwind trip here through Shabbos, is the structure is that whenever you see in Tzedas Nachash and Mafis Mursa, Malach Shen Tzrich L'Gufa, cross that out and instead write Dover Sheinim is Kavein. You're not going to cross it out because those sugyas that mention Malach Shen Tzrich L'Gufa reflect the sheet of Rav based on Rabbi Yehuda, because he accepts Rabbi Yehuda, that Dover Sheinim is Kavein is Chayev. Now again, what that means in Hilchos Shabbos is problematic, and that's what this Reb Chaim is all about. But for right now, just for as a way of introduction, let's equate Kol HaTorah Kulo with Malach Shabbos, and let's assume that according to Rabbi Yehuda, and many Rishonim hold this way, just like Dover Sheinim is Kavein is Chayev in Kol HaTorah Kulo, it's Chayev in Shabbos. So if you operate with that premise just by way of introduction, it's going to be helpful. Because then we can understand why the sugyas in Masech de Shabbos that present either Mafis Mursa or Tzedas Nachash as Malach Shen Tzrich L'Gufa, and Reb Chaim insists that those cases come under Dover Sheinim is Kavein, why didn't the Gemara mention Dover Sheinim is Kavein? Because those sugyas were authored by Rabbi Yehuda and those who paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. For example, yeah.
The very first two lines of the column, the Gemara, it says, "Zimelson Len Alecha Potter Mantana Rav Yehuda Marav Rav Shimoni." Who authored that? Rav Yehuda authored it. It says Rav Shimoni. Well, actually, it's second of Potter.
Are you in the second line?
The second line.
Well, that's Rav. You're missing the word Rav.
I didn't
say it. So on the line, the word Rav.
I did. Fine.
Okay, Rav holds like Rav Yehuda.
But it says Rav Shimoni.
Because, yeah, that's Rav Shimon of Malach Shen Tzrich L'Gufa. Again, why doesn't Rav say Dover Sheinim is Kavein, says Rav Chaim? Rav doesn't have the option, he doesn't have the luxury of applying Dover Sheinim is Kavein, because Rav himself, as Rav Chaim is going to prove on the next page, is of the opinion that Halach is like Rav Yehuda, that Dover Sheinim is Kavein Chayim. According to Rav, the only possibility of churning out a heter for Mafis Mursa is by introducing Malach Shen Tzrich L'Gufa. So, watch this.
Rav holds like Rav Yehuda in Dor Sheni Miskaved. He holds like Rav Shimon in Malacha Sheni Tzricha Legufa. We hold like Rav Shimon in Dor Sheni Miskaved. Therefore, even if we don't accept Rav Shimon in Malacha Sheni Tzricha Legufa, we can be matir mafis mursa under the halacha of Dor Sheni Miskaved. Rav himself, when he authored the sugya of the heter mafis mursa, did not have the option of Dor Sheni Miskaved. And therefore, his only option was Rav Shimon. And that option of Rav Shimon doesn't exist according to the Rambam, because the Rambam rejects Rav Shimon. He holds like Rav Yehuda and Malach Sheni Tzricha Legufa. But it happens to be that the Rambam, as Rav Chaim is going to prove, paskins like Rav Shimon and Dovah She'ena Miskaven. So imagine that Rav and the Rambam, well, that sounds funny, are exact opposites of each other. Whereas Rav is going to accept Rav Yehuda and Dovah She'ena Miskaven and Rav Shimon and Malach Sheni Tzricha Legufa, the Rambam is going to accept Rav Shimon and Dovah She'ena Miskaven and Rabbi Yehuda Malach Sheni Tzricha Legufa. So whenever you look at the sugya, you're looking at the sugya through the perspective of Rav. He doesn't have the option of Dovah Sheni Miskaven. He can only turn out a heter from Avis Mursa based on his psak like Rabbi Shimon of Malach Sheni Tzricha Legufa. The Rambam on the other hand doesn't have the option of Rav, because he passes like Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi Yehuda in Malach Sheni Tzricha Legufa. How could the Rambam turn out a heter, which is the Vagat Mishnah's Kasha? How could the Rambam possibly matir Mafis Mursa? The Gemara says Mafis Mursa is mutter based on Rabbi Shimon Malach Sheni Tzricha Legufa. The Rambam passes like Rabbi Yehuda Malach Sheni. The answer is the Dovah Sheni Miskaven. So you'll ask Rabbi Chaim, for why did the Gemara in Daf Kuf Zayin mention Malach Sheni Tzricha Legufa? Why did the Gemara mention a Dovah Sheni Miskaven? That's going to be the because it's Rav. That's just the technicality of this Rav Chaim. Believe me, Rabosai, the godless of this Rav Chaim, if we ever figure it out, has nothing to do with what I just told you. That's more what I told you now comes from the world of Lubdus way, way before Rav Chaim. You know, that's the what we call the pilpul derech alimud. But Rav Chaim needs that pilpul in order to answer the kasha of the Magid Mishnah. But the real juice of this Reb Chaim is how Reb Chaim understood the Shita Sa'arach of Psegration of
Mitzvah. Just one last thing. How do you change the Metzias of whether it's one Malacha or two Malacha just by flipping between Dovah Sheni Miskaven and Malacha Sheni Tzricha Legufa? Malacha Sheni Tzricha Legufa is one Malacha. One.
Well, again, this is what I'm telling you, Phil. If you're asking me about Seder Sinochash, I have no answer to your question.
Right.
I'm really in the dark. But if you're asking me about Mafis Mursa, I'm going to tell you the following.
That
Mafis Mursa has two, it's an overlap of two Pturim. Again, nobody accepts both Pturim in our frame of reference, but two possible candidate Pturim. Why? Because if you ask me, do I need the Pesach? I'm not in the least bit interested in it. That's called Malach Sheni Tzricha Legufa. Do I need the hole in the ground? I'm not planting. I don't need the hole in the ground. At the same time, we have two different Maisim here. Why? Because he's doing one mice on the pus, and as a result of removing the pus, he's creating a Pesach in his body, and he's violating Malach Hasbini. That's the Dovah Sheni Miskaven.
But why is it different than the offer? He makes a hole in the ground when he takes the offer?
Because making a hole in the ground is the same as cutting off the head of a chicken. Well, actually, again, it's very, I shouldn't, that's not really, that's pedagogically, that's a major boo-boo what I just made. What I meant to say was the following. That in the case of digging a hole, right? So I'm going to postulate the following. Again, you can disagree with me. This is very vulnerable what I'm saying. Digging equals digging equals digging. There's no room for Dovah Sheni Miskaven. What you could say is, what motivates you? What's your ultimate tachlis and your purpose in digging? That makes it into Malach Sheni Tzricha Legufa, but it's irrelevant. But in the case of carrying Grera and digging, carrying and digging are two different mice. And that's where we apply Reb Shimon's psikresha, that no, it's one mice because it's definitely going to happen. And when you're dragging, you are making ditches. And you collapse them into one mice. Again, it's a very difficult, I don't know, you know, I've been around the block a little bit. I'm not saying I heard all the gedolim, but I don't know that you'll ever get an exact, precise, satisfactory answer to this question. What's the difference between Malach Sheni Tzricha Legufa and Dovah Sheni Miskaven? They are so close to each other
that it's dake dake shel chilukim. You'll ask. I just had a moment of blank. The Rosh Yeshiva Muncy. Rabbi Tzal. Ask Rabbi Tzal. I would, again, I don't know Rabbi Tzal. I have a little bit of a glimpse of his godliness. You know what I'm saying? I would bet you. This is his Rosh Yeshiva from Muncy. He's a good person to get here for a Shia. I don't know maybe he would join the public too. I don't know about his God.
So this is the pace I've been at.
Yeah. I would tell you the following, and if Rabbi Tzal would be listening here, he'd either be laughing at me or he'd be saying you're right. That if you would ask Rabbi Tzal, what's the difference between a Dovah Shein Miskav and a Vloch Shein Tzrich Lagufa in Shas, it's a problem. It's never crystal clear, but because there's a lot of gray area. But as a working definition, I am able to understand why Chofer Guma it can only be viewed under the category of Moch Shein Tzrich Lagufa and cannot be analyzed as a Dovah Shein Miskavin. I can understand why Mafis Mursa could be understood under both as an overlap.
Oh, that I know.
Okay, so let me explain that to you. But I cannot understand Seyas Nachash in Rav Chaim's perspective as an overlap of both. Why do I say Mafis Mursa is different? Just like in the case of Grera, I can say to myself that he's carrying this chair from place to place. He decides to drag it. The dragging does not really impact on the maisa of transporting. Do you follow what I'm saying? So that act of transporting always remains independent, if you will, of creating charitzim. There's no way you can get the dirt out of the ground without digging it. There's a way of doing grero without charitzim. They're two different maisa. And, if I was a professional, I could, if I had my PhD in dermatology, maybe I could pluck this boil in such a way that I could literally pull out the pus through a very small, minute hole. It may take me 10 years until finally the pus is out, but I never make a pest.
But does it matter? Does that hole need to be there before I start?
No, I didn't mean that. There's a boil, right? Well, I don't know, give me another word for worse. I don't know. You look it up in the jazz trap. You have a boil, right? A boof. And now what you do is you pluck a hole in the boil.
And that doesn't count already as a Pesach?
No. A Pesach is Kederach HaRofen. That also has to do, by the way, with Malachas Machshefes. What is Kederach HaRofen? So for this you have to know, I think I mentioned this, Rashi in Beitza says that if you gather together onions and put them in a bag, a basket, you're not chayav for Ma'amer. Rashi says, why? Because any hedgehog could do it. It's not Malachas Umus. So here too, we need Kederach HaRofen. Why? Because you and I can make an opening, and we may succeed, and we'll call up the dermatologist, they'll take a look and say, Shkayach, you did a good job. But probably we won't succeed. For that, you have to go to dermatology school. Again, don't take me literally, but you know what I'm saying?
But now I'm okay. So yeah, you tell me you can possibly get it out of the lake without being a Pesach.
The adjectives that you need to describe a Pesach here, which is called Kederach HaRofen, makes it into an umus of sort. We have a tendency of being too cheap to pay dermatologists, right? Especially in this country, because Baruch Hashem, the dermatologists do very well. And in most cases, Kupat Chalim doesn't cover it, right? So what do? We do all sorts of crazy things. I'm talking about myself. We start plucking this and plucking that, and we put pins in, and we take a needle, and we heat it up. So it should be sterile. I've been a dermatologist by Zichalin. I say I'm my own dermatologist, right? But the truth is that if we weren't stingy, or if Kupatli would cover it, we should really be going to a dermatologist. So what I'm trying, again, pardon all the superlatives here, but what I wanted to say is that I can really understand the technique of Reb Chaim, again, we haven't gotten to the lovers of Reb Chaim, in the case of Mafis Mursa, I can validate Reb Chaim's premise, and he has proofs for it, by the way, that Mafis Mursa is not just the Moloch Shenet Zricha L'Gufa, because I have no interest in the Pesach, but it's also Dom Shenet Miskatme, because there are two mice.
And then once I understood that you don't...
Again, I didn't even get...
I'm glad you brought this subject up.
This was all my introduction to
it. I'm glad you brought the subject up because it was bothering me the whole time. And I just didn't want to interrupt you because I...
What bothers you is that you didn't go to dermatology. My son told me that the reason he didn't apply for dermatology is because they have like 4 spots and about 50,000 applicants. Because nobody wakes up in the middle of the night with a pimple, you know what I'm saying?
Well, the thing is, really, but when we're making charisim on the ground, when you're pulling, that's not a Maisa Uman.
Oh, so that's a different question, Alan. Maisa Uman is in Rashi is very, very specific, very rare. Meaning, we're not going to go through all 39 malachas. Meaning, if Chas V'Shalom, I would go out on Shabbos with a sickle in my hand, and I don't know beans about farming, and I would cut down something, you wouldn't say to me, well, he's puzzled because he's not an Uman. But there are various specific cases where the malacha is given its status as a malachas machshavas by the fact that it's a malachas umnus. I did it exactly the way an Uman would do it.
Yeah, I was just thinking that then maybe it's only to Rabbanan and not to your Isa.
Well, again, I'm not sure what you mean. Rashi in Beitzos is giving you a Doraisa halacha, and he's saying to you that gathering together Bitzolim into a basket is not Malachas Ma'amir. It's not like haystacks, you know. I wouldn't have a clue how to make a haystack. You know, you got to do and this and bundit for bundit and for bundit.
The same thing. The same thing with Parisian is that that's not the way it would be by Sir Woman.
Correct. That's an interesting question. That I would add another, you know, a little bit more flame to. A little more fuel to the flame here. I think your kasha is that there's something called kelachar yad.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right,
exactly.
So forget about Rashi by umnus. Even when I don't require malechus umnus, and malechus hedger would be enough to generate a chiyuv, right. It still has to be kedarko. So that's another question here. Again, you know, we're using Gera as our paradigm for Don Shem Miskalim because the Gemara actually does that. But there may be many different dimensions to the sugya of Gera that have nothing to do with Don Shein Miskavim that have to be taken under advisement. Like, for example, is that Kedarko? And Melechus Shabbos requires Kedarko. You know, the Gemara says in the 12th parak that if he writes with his left hand and he's a righty, he's parted from Melechus Kose because it's Lav Kedarko. So that has to be taken under advisement. And you may recall that, again, I don't know who was here when, but I made a big deal about the Igle Tal. And the Igle Tal said that the way you do the Maisa is very, very important in Shabbos. So that you're right about Harisim. Okay. So let's see now what we can get from this Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I personally have an issue here that makes this Reb Chaim very challenging, and that is I never learned the Sugin Krisus. And Reb Chaim here in the third paragraph here, Vehine, builds quite a bit on the Sugya in Krisus. So what I'm going to suggest is the following. First, let's read the paragraph Vinira. We'll try to, depending on how much time we have, we'll try to skip over the Krisus part of this Reb Chaim, and see if we can get at least the main structure of Reb Chaim without having to spend a good couple of hours, analyzing the sugya in Krisus. Vanira Lomer Bazed, Hine Be'emes B'Marfis Mursa, Het Terahu Kishe'enu Miskavin Lasus Lopeh, Elohotzim and Alecha, which means that the Matir, in the case of Marfis Mursa, is going to be Dover She'enu Miskavin. And now, what's my proof to this? Kirisnan kein lehedjer b'masnisin dim lasos lopeh chayov. It means it all depends on his kavan. So Reb Chaim understands that means that it's a dover shenim miskaven if he's not interested in making the pet. In kavanosi lohotzi men alecha bilvad meaning he's not interested in the pet. Ozhu d'shari, then it's mutter because it becomes a dover shenim miskaven. A dover shenim miskaven vim kein hanimtza. What's the next word here? Dahavi, maybe?
Dahavi.
Va'nimtza dahavi be'emes Dover she'ena miskavin depotu b'shabbos l'kuli alma. The afal gav davi psik reisha, even if he removes the pos in such a way that he's going to definitely make a pesach. Achein harei das ha'orachu the psik reisha delo michle mutter. So watch what's going on here. Reb Chaim is proving number one that mafis mursa is a dover she'ena miskavin. Reb Chaim is going to prove number two that mafis mursa, even if it's a psikration, we could apply the principle of the aruch of lo nichale. And Reb Chaim is going to prove now number three that the Rambam in fact paskins like the aruch, and he accepts the shitas aruch that in a davar sheni miskaven a psikration lo nichale is mutter. And if you pardon the pun, he's already opening up a pesach here, yeah, to understand the shitas of Rambam and mafis mursa. How could the Rambam be matir mafis mursa if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that malach shen tzvi'chel guf? The answer is he holds like Reb Shimon that davar sheni miskaven is mutter. Add to that, even if it's a psikresha, it's still the aruch, the shitas aruch, and it's lo nichale, and therefore the Rambam could be matir psikresha to lo nichale.
I can see if they said that's the Marsh of Rofim, so how do you say Lo Nichale?
I guess because he doesn't do it exactly the way the Rofim do it, and therefore it's not Nichale. Well, he's going to still have to pay the dermatologist.
Then he's not Chayev.
Correct. So if he's, but the question is, can we make a jump and say not only is he not Chayev, but it could be Mutter? And the answer is, if we say it's Lo Nichale, and it's the way he did it, he has no benefit from it, then we can apply the principle of the Aruch if we assume the Rambam accepts the Aruch, and psikreshe lo nichle according to the Aruch is mutter l'chatchila because it becomes like a davar sheni miskaven. Okay. V'chein, that's where I got stuck here. V'chein v'hach did tzedes nachash. Okay, I don't know exactly why tzedes nachash is a davar sheni miskaven, but that's how Reb Chaim understands it from the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says mutter Lotzud Osan B'Shabbos. Again, he's not talking about Pikuach Nefesh, but the who and what allows me to trap this serpent, she is kavin lihi notzel mi nechishasam. Now, I'm just trying to protect myself. It reminds me of the Reb Chaim. I don't know if you got to the Reb Chaim about Tashbisu, where the Reb Chaim wants to say this machlok stream Reb Yudah Chachomim that Enviel B'chav Nesreifa Wash B'sas B'chol Dov. Reb Chaim says that according to Reb Yehuda, the mitzvah of Tashbisu is in the chetz of the chametz, and therefore you require Sreifa, whereas according to Chachomim it's in the gavra. I'm just running away from my chametz, so whatever method I use to get rid of the chametz, if I could throw my chametz onto the moon, then that would also be a key of Tashbisu. Here also, it's not that I am trapping the nachash. I have no interest in selling the nachashim. I'm not a nachash seller. I'm just interested in saving myself, and therefore it's a davar sheni miskaven. That's how Reb Chaim understands the Rambam. I would have said that would be a malach sheni tzvi'chel guf, but in the Rambam's reference that's impossible because Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. In Kain Nimsa, the Eino Miskavin Klal Lotzud Rak Lahatzil Satzibul Vavi. In Kain Ha Havi Dovah She'Eino Miskavin Psik Reish Lo Nichole De Potur B'Shabbos. Again, if he has no interest in the Nachash, he's not taking it and selling it or hanging it up or whatever he's doing, therefore it's Lo Nichole.
Why did he use the Russian Potur instead of Mutter that he used just a few lines before?
Why does he say Potur here? I don't know. Good question. Let me think about that. Eladilafiza tzarich inasugya. Okay, that's wonderful. The Rambam makes sense. The logic is there. The problem is, what about the sugya? The sugya kuf zayin toli le bedin malach shen tzichul gufa. So if you take a minute to turn to the other page again, this is still part of understanding the structure. It says lafiza. Harebiyushev heitev hode matir shmul mafis mutzeh is nochash. Mazal nahavi bichlal. Dovah Shenim Eskavim Psik Reisha, it's Lo Nichole. Shmuel Etamei, the Svirlei Bezvachim, the Dovah Shenim Eskavim, Gamakol Tarkula Mutter, the Gamak Psik Reish Lo Nichole, it's also Mutter. So again, Shmuel can accept the Shita of Dovah Shenim Eskavim. The Hod, the Tolilei, Hasugi, the Shabbos, Afkuv Zayin, Bedim, Lachem, Tzik, Lagufa, So why didn't the Gemara invoke the principle of melacha of Dovah Shein Miskavni? Ha'im Yishud Dehosmari Rav Udekamerle. That's why I told you, if you'll underline the word Rav, not because I'm such a bucky, but because I read the Rav Chaim. That's all. Rav Udekamerle, the Svirle, the Shabbos Daf Membeis, I mean, the Bekiyas here, Rav Chaim, is quite impressive. The Dovah Shein Miskavni also. Therefore, the only option for the sugya to come up with a heter of Machis Mursa is because of Malacha Sheni Tzricha Legufa, and in fact, Rav holds like Rav Shimon in Malacha Sheni Tzricha Legufa. That's just as far as the structure is concerned. Now, where is Rav Chaim's breakthrough as far as the lumdus is concerned? So, if you take a look on the right column towards the bottom, Reb Chaim says the following. I'll just try to highlight the important part of Reb Chaim. Just 1 second. And he says, just give me a second.
What are you talking about?
No, I'm talking on page Vav.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You were talking about Zion.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry, I just fast-forwarded to Zion just to show you the structure, the framework of Chaim. What we're really up to is now this very difficult paragraph, Ehine, which goes on and on and on, and begins with the Sugyan Krisus, and right now I don't have the time to put into, and I admit my faults here, to put into the Sugyan Krisus. But what I do want to say is that even without the Sugyan Krisus, we can certainly appreciate this Reb Chaim. And he says the following. He says that, maybe just 1 second. She's going to come to Kaimel and there's Benira Lomar. Okay, so this is approximately 8-9 lines. I don't know how many lines, 7-8 lines from the bottom of the right column.
Seven
lines. He says the following. There's a Shita Satosvis in many places, most famous in the sugya of what's called Mitzarif. Are you familiar with that sugya where they wanted to, you know, the mikveh was too cold for the Kohen Gadol on Leil Yom Kippur to go into the mikveh, so they took a piece of hot metal and they threw it into the mikveh, and that warmed up the mikveh, so to speak. They didn't have the methods that we have today for warming up mikvehs. So the Gemara there asks the question, he should be chayv mishum mitzarev, which means that when you take hot lead or metal and you throw it into a cold water, it strengthens the kli, which is, let's assume, makav epatish. So the Gemara says that it's a dovah shein miskavni. He's interested in warming up the water, he's not interested in strengthening the utensil, the lead. And in that sugya, Tosis raises the issue, that's wonderful, according to Rav Shimon. But what's Rabbi Yehuda going to say about that? He holds that Dovah Shein Miskavni is chayav. And that's where Tosis makes his famous breakthrough, that even though Rabbi Yehuda holds Dovah Shein Miskavni is chayav, that's only in Kol Tarkula, where there's no Din Meleches Machsheves. But in Shabbos, where there's a Din Meleches Machsheves, even Rabbi Yehuda holds that Dovah Shein Miskavni is potter. Not potter mutter, but at least it's pot, and it's only osim mit rabban. And this Tosfos appears in other places as well. Ha'avi hatam bazeh. Okay, this is a very important line in Reb Chaim. Mishum degabi Shabbos ksiv meleches machsheves. Uksheino miskavin lo havi meleches machsheves. Now, if you could underline that sentence in Reb Chaim, I want to tell you up front that we misunderstand Reb Chaim. What do I mean we misunderstand Reb Chaim? Reb Chaim is going to clarify what he means by that sentence only in the middle of the next paragraph. Because I'll tell you what I have in mind. Reb Chaim holds that the concept of Kavana and the concept of Meleches Machsheves are fundamentally different, one from the other. And Reb Chaim spends quite a few lines trying to explain and elucidate the contrast between those two concepts. the line that we just underlined seems to collapse them into one. Because here Reb Chaim is saying that kisha'eno miskavim lo avi moleches machshevus. How could Reb Chaim make such a statement when he himself is going to present the thesis here, which is the main breakthrough here of Reb Chaim, that kavana luchud and moleches machshevus luchud? And in order to illustrate this, again, without losing our place here on the bottom right column, if you could just skip for a moment to the middle of the left column, Reb Chaim says the following. We'll start with line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. With line 6, Vehi Nireh, this is what I call the breakthrough. Da Hanach Trei Dinim Chalukim Heim B'Yisod Dinam Me'adod. He wants to suggest that Dovah She'enim Eskaven and Meleches Machsheves are fundamentally different one from the other. And let's see how he defines each of these two. Dovah She'enim Eskaven Ha'ikar Toli V'Kavanoso U'Ritzono. In other words, what motivates him? Sam, who was here 2 days ago, he asked me, what is Kavanah? So Reb Chaim is actually giving us a clue as to what Kavanah is. You know, Sam is a psychologist, so from a psychological perspective, how do you define intention? So Reb Chaim is saying that the concept of intention is the same as Ratzon. I don't know if Reb Chaim is going to say that all over the place. I don't think it applies to Mitzvah Srichos Kavanah necessarily. But anyway, here in this context, the Torah says that you violate an Avera if and when you have a ratzon. And that's according to Reb Shimon, who holds Dovah She'enim Eskaven is mutter and kol tarkula. According to Reb Yehuda, I don't care about your ratzon. But Dovah She'enim Eskaven is totally beratzon. What motivates the person? What is his interest? You can't be held liable, according to Reb Shimon, for a violation that you're not motivated by. Okay, I find that very sensational, and frankly, I'm not yet ready to accept that breakthrough of Reb Chaim. But Reb Chaim wants to say the following: even if I'll convince you 1,000% that what you're doing is violating the Isur, nevertheless, you're still going to be in the category of Dovah She'enim Eskaven because you have an Oratza. So if you would ask the question about Yediya, about Das, about what I call awareness, again, I don't know if Reb Chaim would agree with that definition, but he's perfectly 1,000% aware of what's going on over here. There's no all the cards are on the table. He knows everything. But mikol makom, nevertheless, it depends on his kavana. What motivates him? What brings him to do this? He knows that it's going to happen, but he may have a totally different motivation for it. And Reb Chaim proves this from a sugya in Pesachim. And the sugya Pesachim assumes that in a case where a person has what's called a lo efshar v'kamachavin situation, then according to Reb Shimon, who holds Dovah She'enim Eskaven is chayav, he's going to be chayav for this. Harei di afa gav shi yodea bevadei shemagil lo hano mikomakom im miskavin osur im eino miskavin sharif. So the case is such, if you look carefully at the sugya Pesachim, where he knows that he's going to violate this Isur Hanoah, there's no issue, there's no question about it, does he have Kavanah for the Hanoah, or does he not have a Kavanah? And the Gemara is going to say that if it's a case of Lo Efshar, well, Lo Kamachavim, then it's Mutter, even though he has absolute Yediya. Says Reb Chaim, you see that Kavanah is totally independent of Yediya. Yediya is awareness. I know exactly what I'm doing and what the repercussions, the outcome is, whereas Kavanah is motivation. Again, this is very, very profound concepts here. Now, where does he get to Moleches Machsheves? So if you could, again, I'm sorry, I should have underlined this for you, just to make it easier pedagogically, but if you fast forward about, let's say, 15 lines maybe, I don't know, if you could find a line that starts with the word Havi, if that, again, only if that helps you. Masha Einken, that's where I want you to underline. V'din Moleches Machsheves, Ein Yisod Dino Toli Klal V'Kavana V'Ratzon. You should not identify Moleches Machsheves with Kavana V'Ratzon. You know, in contrast to what Chaim said earlier, which I asked you to underline, where he seems to identify the two, and he says that Dovah She'enim Eskaven is a Chisor to Moleches Machsheves. No. Melechus Makshavas has nothing to do with Kavana. But rather, Ki im bidas sha'osa es hamalacha. Now again, if Reb Chaim would allow me, I don't know if he would, instead of the word das, for me personally, I would use the word yediyah. That's what I think Reb Chaim has in mind. And what gives me that impression, v'zeu yisod ha'chdinim lechus machshev sh'yasa samalocha b'das u'b'machshov. And look how he illustrates this definition of melechus machshevus. He stretches his arm out to the sugya of misasik. What's the sugya of misasik? He thinks he's cutting tolush. Little does he know he's cutting mechubar. He has no yediyah. Or in Reb Chaim's language, he has no das. Kidamatzina b'krisus taf yutes misasik b'shabas pot mishun melechus machshevus osvet Torah. He's got a brick sitting on his lap. He's unaware of it. He stands up and the brick goes flying into Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim. It's potter. The Gemara establishes that he's potter because Malachas Machshevas Asrit Torah. And what this means is that the Malacha didn't happen with his das, with his yediyah. He had no awareness of the Malacha. It's irrelevant to Kavana. Kavana is a question of motivation, whereas Melechus Machshevus is a question of Das. Now, based on this, Reb Chaim comes to the conclusion, and this is what irked Reb Shlomo Hyman, that the Aruch Shita of Psik Reish Lo Nichole is Dafka in Shari Surei Torah. It has no application to Melechus Shabbos. Why? Because in Melechus Shabbos, it's all dependent upon his yediyah. We don't care about Nichole or Lo Nichole. Once it's a Psik Reish, we know that he has Das. He has a yediyah. Where does Lo Nichole make sense? If you're talking about motivation, you're talking about Ratzon and Kavana, then you could be Mechalek between Lo Nichole and Nichole. And we'll see exactly how that breakthrough of Reb Chaim is critical to this whole presentation. But that we're going to have to do next week. But for now, keep in mind that Reb Chaim comes to the conclusion, which I think is punkfaket from everything we thought. We thought that Melechus Machshevus means that the Aruch is saying Lo Nichole, that's not called the Melechus Machshevus. Says Reb Chaim, no. Our definition of Melechus Machshevus is Yediyah. He has a Yediyah insofar as it's a Psik Reisha. Where would Lo Nichole play a role? That's within the context, let's say, according to Reb Shimon of Dovah Shein Miskari in Shari Suri Torah, where the criterion for violating the Isur is the fact that you are motivated with a Ratzon and a Kavana for this Avera. In the case of Lo Nichole, the Aruch is right. I don't have Kavana, and the proof is then I don't have any benefits. This sounds very similar to Reb Elchanan, if you remember that. Reb Elchanan wanted to suggest that the problem with Psik Reishis is a kind of umdana, that he really wants it because he knows it's going to happen, but if it's Lo Nichole, then you can't establish that umdana. But basically what Reb Chaim is saying is that the concept of Lo Nichole in the Aruch belongs to the world of Eino Miskaven. It doesn't belong to the world of Melechus Machshevus, and that's a little bit confusing to us, because Reb Chaim in the bottom of the other paragraph said that Hod Dover Miskaven Eino Asur Rabbi Shabbos of Rabbanon. That's because if it's an Eino Miskaven, is therefore Lo Avi Melechus Machshevus. You remember that line, 3.5 lines up from the bottom of the right column? He says Kisha Eino Miskaven Lo Avi Melechus Machshevus. That's a little bit odd, because in truth the opposite is the case. That if you want to know whether it's Melechus Machshevus, ask him if he knows what's going to happen, if he has a yediyah. Kavanah is irrelevant to Melechus Machshevus. So, Rabbos, this is what I need your help with this. That's why I came over to you today during Seder to ask you if you can possibly go through this Reb Chaim, because maybe I didn't get you early enough on time, because this is not a simple Reb Chaim. But B'li Neder, next week we have Erev Rosh Hashanah on Wednesday, so I'm thinking that Monday and Tuesday could be regular shiurim, I think. There's no din of Erev Rosh Hashanah. So the Mirz Hashem will do this on Today's what, Thursday, so we'll do this Bilinener on Tuesday. So our goal for Tuesday would be to try to answer Reb Shlomo Hyman's kasha that Reb Chaim is saying something that's counterintuitive and it's against all the Rishonim, that Segresh Lo Nichle is Dafka in Shari Surei Torah and not in Shabbos where there's Molechus Makshavos. How to work out this Reb Chaim according to all the Rishonim, that's going to be our job on Yom Shlishi, or at least until we get to Yom Shlishi. Okay.